Democrat was back in action, and was hoping we get a little break in the weather, more fall, like the walking out and catching a little bit of practice this afternoon, and there it is, 93 degrees, so no such luck.
Yeah, I guess for the global warming doesn't exist crowd, this is not this is a week that ought to be a display to them. Hey, it's almost October and it's 90 degrees outside. This is not a good thing. It does feel very nice outside though, and the good thing is that it's expected to be beautiful weather on Saturday, and it might be hot, but there's not going to be any rain in the forecast, at least right now. Delta State on the schedule, GSC play beginning. Is this their first actual test, do you think? Delta State picked fifth in the GSC poll behind the Big Four. Do you think that Delta can actually give UWF a little bit of a run for their money?
Well, he certainly did last year, and going on the road to Cleveland, Mississippi, and those who can remember back to that game and being down 30-10 at half and having to put together a furious comeback. Delta State's got talent. They've got a quarterback with lots of experience and Patrick Shagog back. And they were a hard luck team last year, Drew. I think they finished 5-6, 3-4 in conference play. Easily could have moved those numbers the other way and been much better. And I thought they were potentially, a playoff team at one point and just had that hard luck. So, yeah, Delta's going to come in. I think for both teams, to be honest, it's really the first test. Delta beat Mississippi Valley State over the weekend out of the SWAC. That's a good win. They kind of dominated the score. Really probably wasn't even as close as the final score. But they played McKendree and Kentucky State. So they've kind of had some of the similar early season opponent as UWF. So, this is the GSC is when you start finding out who's real and who's kind of pretending a little bit. And glad to have this one at home. In fact, the next two being at home as we dive into GSC play. But I think the team, you talk to Coach Shinnick, you talk to the staff, and definitely the players who have been around for a season or more, they understand what it means to get into GSC play and how that changes things.
You mentioned the quarterback play. Also, they're going to have to go up against Dante Myers, all GSC preseason wide receiver. How exactly do you think how do you think they contain him? What do you think they need to do in order to try to make sure that they limit his ability to make plays?
It's really battle the other receiver. They're both big receivers, so that presents a little bit of a challenge, and we saw it last year. I think we saw it even the year before when they came in to play down at Wahoo Stadium. Delta did. They like to get those big receivers in the middle of the field, throw them the football and kind of let them run around, and they ran around on the Argos last year that first half. Adjustments were made at halftime, and it obviously played out differently in the second half, so you're going to have to probably be a little more aggressive. You probably have to get some linebackers involved in some coverage as well. But I think that's what this defense is geared towards. We talked about it in the fall camp and on into the season. A little bit more size as far as length at the defensive back position. And these linebackers certainly can run. I think it's geared towards stopping some of these GSC opponents that do this kind of thing. So that'll be a nice matchup, though. The DBs, the back end of the Argos defense against Todd Lee Battle and Dante Myers for sure.
So they get the bye week a little bit. I don't even want to call it early. I mean, it is early in their schedule. Do you think that there's advantages to that? Obviously, having David Durden being able to play a little bit in that Southwest Baptist game and then have the bye week to make sure that he's fully ready to go and some of the other guys who have been a little bit beaten up. How important was that bye week now as opposed to maybe having it in a couple of weeks from now?
And I talked with Coach Shinnick about that as we were doing the Coach Shinnick show this week, and it's nice to have it after the long road trip, obviously, to Southwest Baptist going to Missouri and that long bus ride. So that does help. But, a lot of times you're making your biggest gains at this point of the season in the first couple weeks. And so from week to week, you're often seeing big development and growth. So you kind of lose that, and it does take you out of your rhythm early in the season. I mean, probably would like to have the bye week maybe a little deeper in. Probably prefer not to have one at all. But if you're going to have one, maybe you want it in the back half of the season as you're resting guys and trying to get ready for the playoffs. So it's not optimal, but I think they've had plenty of time to game plan for Delta State, and watch their first three games and kind of get a feel for them. So they probably know a little bit more about the Statesmen than the Statesmen do about the Argos at this point. And obviously it's different for Delta State, and we know Patrick Shagog, and we kind of know what they can do. They don't know as much about Byron Jarrett, and I don't think they've really seen the full capabilities of both Pee Wee Jarrett, but also this entire offense, with the running backs and some of the new faces at receiver as well, whether it's a Caden Leggett, Mav Wolfley's back in the lineup too, the tight end after, missing the first week and not really playing a ton against Southwest Baptist. So I don't know. You know, it's going to be tough for Delta State to kind of come in and say, hey, we've got a real good feel for what this Argo offense can do.
If there's one key for the offense and one key for the defense, what would you say, I guess, as it specifically pertains to putting points on the board and making sure that you stop Delta State from doing that same thing?
I'll start with the defensive side for the Argos. I think it is what we just touched on. They've got to be able to limit those big receivers and not give up the big play. And I think that's where Delta hurt this team last year. They got a couple big plays. We haven't seen any big hits against the defense. You know, granted, the competition was not GSC level, but if you can, you know, make them earn everything, and these defenses for the Argos and their defensive coordinator Darian Doolin are kind of geared at when they get near the red zone, tightening up and forcing field goals or turnovers. But you can't give up that 40-yard touchdown, you know, let Myers catch one over the middle and just kind of run through your secondary to the end zone or inside the 10. So they're going to have to do a good job of limiting big plays. And then I think on the other side of the ball, it has been offensive line. The Argos have been able to kind of impose their will, run the football incredibly effectively early in the season. I think they'll look to do the same thing. They're going to take the deep shots down the field. Coach Shinnick offenses always do. But, I mean, right now you've got three running backs, or if you include the quarterback, you've got Shamari Mason, Ravion Hargrove, and Byron Jarrett, all averaging north of 7 yards per carry, near 8 yards per carry. That really makes it tough on the defense. And you've got to come in and walk. Delta State's going to have to walk 10 guys, 11 guys into the box at times. Too dangerous when you're talking about David Durden, you're talking about Caden Leggett and Larry Rembert. Jared Smith, by the way, sensational freshman year as a wide receiver's back after he fought some injury issues through camp. He hasn't played yet, but he'll play this week. So all the weapons are available, and if they got to come and try to stop this dynamic running game, you may get burned on the backside pretty effectively, and that's certainly what we're hoping for.
Yeah, so I think that this whole deal with, you know, Byron Jarrett being so good, so early, I mean, he's shown why he has won the starting job. How important do you think over the course of, you know, the summertime and having the quarterback battle throughout camp? Obviously, I mean, you would like to believe that Coach Shinnick believes that all three can get the job done, but what exactly has Byron Jarrett done to elevate himself over some of those other guys? And also, I guess from a belief standpoint with the team, not to say that, you know, Shamari Mason and Caden Leggett and Larry Rembert and those other guys and David Durden don't believe in the other guys as well, but how important has these first two games been for Byron Jarrett to go out and make the plays he has as far as building confidence for the wide receiver room, that he'll be able to get them the ball and have all the timing right and all the chemistry is going to be good?
One thing he did, Drew, was he came in, you know, over the summer and had, you know, voluntary workouts with these guys. And a lot of the receivers and running backs, frankly, showed up. I would go by Penn Airfield and they'd be out there in the mornings working together. So, you know, and some of the other quarterbacks as well. It wasn't just Byron Jarrett, but that starts building that trust and that belief, you know, for a guy who wasn't here during spring. You know, neither was Michael Rich either, but you know, neither one of those two was here during the spring. So they had to put in some work in the summer and definitely through fall camp. But this is a guy, I think he gets lost sometimes. You know, Austin Reed's memory is still very fresh and we can see what he's doing at Western Kentucky. Byron Jarrett was the top junior college quarterback coming out. You know, and he said to me that Southwest Baptist game, you know, guys were trying to give him a hard time saying, you know, why is the top JUCO could you be in the country at a D2? And he's, you know, he's like saying, like, hey, this competition's as good as several FCSs and several conferences, and he's happy to be here. But you're seeing, that's the thing. There was a lot of hype because of that, because of him being the top JUCO quarterback. And he's 6'3", 245, and he can run. He's got a gun for an arm. You know, we're hearing all these things over the summer and in fall camp, and then we start to see it. You know, and then you're like, okay, this isn't just hype. And then you're starting to see it in games. And keep in mind, he's only thrown 31 passes through two games. You know, he really, his stats kind of look like one game, and they've been blowouts, but six touchdowns. His QBR is like 248, you know, completing 62% of his passes, no interceptions, six touchdowns, big plays, you know, 50-yard touchdown bombs. We've seen it all so far. And at Southwest Baptist, we saw him on a design quarterback run get loose and hurdle a defender, you know, 15 yards downfield. The guy brings so many different elements to the game. And so that's the thing. I think we've only scratched the surface as far as what he's capable of and what we've seen so far. And then you mix in an All-American like Shamari Mason and David Durden, who's on that, you know, Senior Bowl watch list for small schools. I mean, there's so much talent on this offensive side of the ball. It's got to be a nightmare if you're a Delta State coach sitting across trying to game plan to stop this Argo offense from putting up the points. They're averaging 50 a game. defense has given up 6.5 a game. I mean, even if you can't keep those numbers in GSC play, I think we've kind of seen what we hopefully we can expect moving forward.
Most definitely. Speaking with Will Kennedy, again, voice of the Argos, Taylor Van Ekeren became just the second player in program history to surpass 3,000 assists and 1,000 digs in her career. They've got the volleyball team at 12th right now. They were 11th, now 12th in the volleyball coaches poll for D2. She's, I guess, would you consider her to be a legend in UWF athletics with what she's been able to do with this program and just being a total stud since coming to West Florida?
We induct every year a Hall of Fame class in the UWF Athletics Hall of Fame, and I fully expect that Taylor will be part of that not too far in the distant future with a class where she'll go in and, probably the greatest setter in program history. And what she's done, and she's been around a long time, obviously, with COVID and other things, and, you know, getting an extra year. And some folks will remember this, others won't. I mean, there was a time 2 years ago or so when women's basketball was short players because of injuries and sickness and other things, and she had played in high school. I mean, she suited up and they needed bodies at practice. She got into a game and hit a couple shots. She had a chase down block during a women's basketball game.
Wow.
That, you know, was LeBron-esque in many ways. And so she loves UWF. She's from Illinois. She grew up a Bulls fan and a Cubs fan and all that. She's really cool. And of course she's hearing impaired and has so many great stories that are kind of surround who she is, but the way she plays the game, I mean, the setter's the point guard, right? For volleyball.
Yeah.
Everything flows through her. She touches the ball every play. You couldn't ask for somebody better in that role. And this is a team. Yeah, they've had a couple losses early in the season, but as you mentioned, ranked in the top 15. They're as good as anybody in Division II volleyball, and they test themselves early and often. They're in GSC play now. We were trying to – Valdosta game the other night. We were at the match in the field house. I'm trying to think, when was the last time we lost a conference match in general? And then at home, it's been a couple of years, so – this is a dominant team, and she's a dominant player in this program.
Absolutely, and they were ranked, I believe it was fifth as well preseason. So they've already gotten that respect and are looking to make a big run, of course, in the Division II tournament. And then men's and women's soccer, neither of them ranked, but both have a winning record, and they're also into GSC play. The soccer season comes and goes really quickly. I was looking at the schedule, and my goodness, the women's team almost is halfway through. The men's team is getting there. These fall sports come and go so quick, Will.
They obviously in soccer as they do in volleyball. Volleyball schedule is a little busier, and travel's a part of that. And volleyball's on the road this weekend. They make a trip up in north, and then it's Tennessee, both Christian Brothers and Lee for both men's and women's soccer. I mean, men didn't even play soccer-wise last week. They kind of had a week off, not because of the choosing, just because we have teams in the conference that don't play men's soccer, which, you know, much like we have teams in the GSC that don't play football. So it gets a little weird with that. But no, these are teams, you know, last year men's and women's soccer and volleyball obviously made deep runs in the NCAA, and we expect the same thing. And rankings are nice, but rankings don't matter in Division II. What matters is you get into the postseason and you play your best, you know, whatever that sport may be in the postseason. Coach Bill Elliott's been around pushing 30 years now. Joe Bartlinski, 20 years. Melissa Walter, 20 years. That also speaks to their programs, but also the athletic department in general, the administration of the university. And it's fun. They put in new bleachers out at the soccer complex. So check goargos.com next time they're home. You got kids that like soccer. You want to see some really good college soccer, both men's and women's. Come on out to the soccer complex and catch a match. It's actually so much nicer. And it was nice before, but now it's really fantastic. Some great seating there. It's a fun watch.
Great stuff. Again, Will Kennedy, voice of the Argos. Appreciate the time as always. You have a good call on Saturday. Hope for another Argos victory.
Absolutely. 5:30 will be on the air pregame show right here on ESPN Pensacola. Game kicks off at 6. So join myself and Coach Kyle Shoemaker on the color analysis. And, Drew, we will get you. You decide when you want to do it. Give away 2 tickets to the game. Give me an email for a winner and a name, and we'll hook that person up with some tickets for the game against Delta State this week, family weekend.
Let's do it spectacular. Again, Will, thanks for the time. Go Argos.
Go Argos.